continue talking about COVID. I mean, not that we're tired of hearing about it, but the good thing we're hearing about is a vaccine. And we all believe there will be a vaccine available. What would you like to see as the borough policy for vaccinations?
Well, our OEM department is working on the plan right now. We're planning for the arrival of a vaccine and what we will do and how we will communicate that to the public. They're drafting those policies and that information at this time. What would I like to see? I'm tired of COVID, frankly. I know you are too. I think that all of us have heard the safeguards to it. You can see the numbers, you can see the modeling, and really that's where I've been with COVID from day one, is looking at the modeling, looking at the healthcare providers that provide the modeling, and then making decisions based on those numbers. And I looked at numbers this morning, we had one case yesterday. This last 2 weeks we've had, four was the most we've had over the last 2 weeks. And so I would say that, we're managing things, we're watching things, and we're responding responsibly to the numbers and the mandates. So.
Okay, thank you. And Linda Farnsworth Hutchings. So when a vaccine is available, as borough mayor, if elected, what would you like to see as the borough policy for vaccinations?
When and if we get this vaccine, I would like to see the people would have the choice. If they decide they want to take and use the vaccine, that would be fine. But I don't think it is something that the borough can mandate, because we have no health care powers. So this is not something other than suggestions that we can do.
Thank you very much. Linda, you're first on the next question. This will be on the ballot. What is your position on the mail-in ballots proposition for the borough?
I think it is up to the people to decide. It's on the ballot, and that's where it needs to be. But I do want to make one comment in addition to that. It's amazing to me that we're having all of this conversation about something that's sitting on the borough website saying it's safe, and we've been doing it for 20 years. So, I voted all three ways. I voted absentee, I voted early voting, and I vote in person. And I think that sometimes there are some scare tactics employed. We have six precincts right now that are all mail-in. And this isn't a national issue, this is just for our borough. And so I think, it's up to the voters.
Thank you. Charlie, the same question. It is a local issue, it is a borough issue, it is an initiative. And what is your position on mail-in ballot proposition for the borough?
We didn't need to do this to ourselves. We have, you can apply for an absentee ballot today. And what you have is you're going to receive, what they're trying to do is change it so that everybody is forced to vote by mail. And where they talk about the other options as well. They've been trying to push vote by mail for a number of years. You voted on this before, and you said no. Again, it's how many times do you have to vote on it and before they get it? I don't know. Maybe every 2 years. They'll bring it back to you every 2 years and ask you whether you want to do this or not. You can vote by mail today. Just request an absentee ballot. It works very well. It does. It works well.
Okay, you're first on this one. We're going to do some trash talking, Charlie. What type of changes do you anticipate for the borough solid waste and transfer site, seeing that our garbage is one of the responsibilities of the borough?
The liners are not cheap, and the codes and the regulations that are placed on solid waste facilities are ever growing. Every year you get new information from the federal government that you have to do an additional task or handle something differently. One of the things that you may see, a big change that you may see actually come, if we can find the financing and the money behind it, is take some of the natural gas that we're producing in our facility, and we've worked on that design plan, worked with a cooperation with Homer Electric to actually take some of that and use that gas stream to handle the leachate, the evaporation that we have, as well as generate some electricity, do some sharing there, and actually generate some revenue for our, for our solid waste facility versus expense. But in the years to come, we're going to have to handle the production of natural gas. That would be the big one, I would think.
Thank you. And Linda, what type of changes do you anticipate in the borough solid waste and transfer sites in the future?
Well, I think we have been working with HEA on some of these programs, but more than that, I've stopped by and looked at the transfer stations, and this is where I have issues. There are things being dumped into those dumpsters that if you delivered to the borough dump, you would not be able to drop them off. Or there would be special locations, paints, oil, gasoline, whatever. And these dumpsters, as was said, do not have liners. So it is seeping into the soil, and a couple of the transfer stations that I looked at are very close to bodies of water. So I think this is something that needs to be addressed quickly.
Okay, thank you very much. Linda, first on this one, in the next 3 years, what issues do you feel need to be addressed in our hospital service areas?
I think we're looking at, we just had a change in boundaries for South Peninsula, and I think they have felt like they've accomplished what they needed. They pulled in some outside areas that were using the hospital but had not been paying for the service area before. As far as Central Peninsula, I think we're doing fine. We have, I think, less than 2.02 mills, and the only thing that we support is having to do the audit. The hospital is self-sustaining, so I don't see any real change there.
Okay, thank you. And Borough Mayor Pierce, do you see in the next 3 years any major issues? Everybody wants to stay healthy during this time right now. We're glad we have the facilities we do. But what do you see that need to be addressed in our hospital service areas in the next 3 years?
I think our hospitals have handled the expansion and the development of technology responsibly. Some good news, I think favorable news, is that we've purchased through the CARES Act monies a device similar to what they use for testing of COVID in Fairbanks and in Anchorage. We purchased the same machine. It's about a $500,000 machine. Can do up to 400 tests a day, as I understand it, and we'll be receiving that device here real soon and installing that as well. But, you know, I think that our hospitals, both of them, we're putting in a CT scanner or a scanner down in South Penn right now, and we're making some renovations there as well. You know, very favorable treatment. You can stay here, you can stay at home, and we have some of the best doctors in the world living right here amongst us, and I think we should all be very, very proud of our hospital.
Thank you. Okay, Charlie, your turn on this one. No one had a crystal ball to predict this pandemic and how we are going to get out of it. But do you predict that any tax increases in the next 3 years are in the crystal ball? And if you see those in your crystal ball, which ones would you support and which ones would you turn into crunched glass or veto?
What I would say is that we had fund balance to carry us through this event. In February, as I mentioned, we had a different plan on the wall. We were actually doing some expansion. We had different plans. We were going to hire some folks in emergency services, much needed labor force there that needed to be hired. And those plans were put on hold when March showed up. And, you know, we've struggled. We are required. We're taking our fund balance down. It'll probably hit somewhere around $10 million at the end of 21. Fund balance requirements say within 3 years you have to bring it back. What's required to bring it back is about a 1.1 mil rate. We've asked to use some of the federal funds that we have, the CARES Act money, about $5 million of that, to offset some of those sales tax revenue shortages to carry us through the next 3 years. And we've yet to receive that approval, but we're holding it for that purpose. If we don't get those funds, we've got a three-year plan. It brings us back up to about $17 million in 3 years at 1.1 mil.
Okay, thank you. And Linda, as a prophetess, if you will, or borough mayor, do you predict any tax increases in the next 3 years? And if so, which ones would you support or which ones would you veto?
I really don't like to see an increase of 1.1 mil. Right now, we are sitting at 4.7, and that is 0.2 mils higher than when we started out in the 2018. So this would be bringing us up to 5.8. That is pretty heavy to put on the property owners. And the thing is, because they're all suffering, whether it's a small mom and pop store, whether it's a hunting lodge, whether it's a fishing guide, these people do not have the money to pay that much. And I would just be looking very strongly at this budget, and I will tell you honestly, as I have done before, I would always rather see an increase of maybe half a point on sales tax, because it doesn't just hit the property owner that hard. It hits every tourist that comes into our area. And by tourists, I mean Anchorage people, Alaska people that come down here. And it's a great way to do it.
Okay, thank you. Go first on this one too, Linda. With the fund balance shrinking, as we've alluded to, and almost no capital projects planned, how do you propose addressing the deferred maintenance needs of so many of the borough buildings, including our school district buildings?
As I said, I would definitely go through this budget. There are things that we are able to do in-house, which makes it much easier than contracting out for everything. And we do have some COVID monies that are being made available for this. So I think it's just sitting down, going through this budget line by line, person by person.
Okay, and Mayor Pierce, with the fund balance shrinking, as you alluded to, and almost no capital projects planned, how do you propose addressing the deferred maintenance needs of so many of our borough buildings?
You know, in my budget, I had put an extra $1 million in for the maintenance on our buildings. Typically, we put about $1.3 million in there. I added another $1 million to it. That helped pick up some of the maintenance that has been done along the way. We've done a lot of out-of-pocket repairs. We changed out 13 boilers in your district. You know, roofs have been done on your schools. The boilers are all in good shape. State-of-the-art boilers will save energy costs for direct savings to the school district. I think the team that I work with every day has put a smart plan together to make repairs. We've put security. We've wired every school for the security, the smart doors. It's a matter of getting our personnel trained now to do the installation on those devices. And I just say we've got a very good plan. It's called a plant replacement type concept to fix things out of pocket, not go to bond, not bond yourself or take on debt. And I've tried to avoid that.
Okay, thank you. Hold on to that microphone, Charlie. Recent assembly committee discussions have revolved around what the role of the mayor and the assembly should be. Please describe what you see as the executive and legislative responsibilities within our borough during your three-year term.
Well, I've had fun being mayor. I've enjoyed it. I've been your voice. You elected me to be your voice. You know, they've tried to make it take it out of a strong mayor concept and create a manager form of government. And if I could be a critic for a moment to the cities, I think that's what's wrong with our cities, is that you have a manager form of government in your cities. And if you had a strong mayor in each one of your cities, you might see different results as well. You know, it's real easy to, you know, the average life of a manager at a city is about 5 years. The average length of my service as your mayor would be less than 3 years had it been the other way around, because your voice was heard through me. And I would encourage you to always protect that right. I will always protect it as a resident of this borough to have a strong mayor speak on behalf of you, because I can say what needs to be said. And I'm comfortable doing that, and I'm comfortable in debating those issues, and I always will be.
Thank you. And Linda, as borough mayor, what would you see the executive and legislative responsibilities within our borough during your three-year term?
Well, I really do not like watching all of the picking back and forth. I think that you should be able to collaborate with your assembly. I think that there should be good discussions. And I don't seem to feel the same way that the borough mayor is the only voice. There are 9 assembly members. They all have a voice. So there are 10 people that are speaking for you. And I think that that's a good way to do it.
Okay, and Linda, with the state facing over $1 billion deficit, what are your thoughts on the potential of community assistance and school bond debt reimbursement being zeroed out, equating to cost shifting to local governments?
My real problem with that 70-30 split is that we went and we built buildings on the premise that we were going to have the assistance for those loans, that bond indebtedness. And it would be, to me, similar to going and getting a loan at the bank and making my payments religiously, and all of a sudden the banker saying, you know, we're going to add a little bit more to that loan because guess what? We're having a tough time. It's not right. They need to come through with their bond indebtedness promise.
Thank you. And Mayor Pierce, reimbursement being zeroed out, equating to cost shifting to local governments, your opinion?
Those bonds came with some clear messaging from the state. It said may. There was a word used in that contract agreement between the state and the boroughs. It said they may pay this. They may pay this. It didn't say they would always promise to pay it. So when we signed those and we inked the deal, surely both parties had good intentions, but I think that when we enter into agreements like that, be subject to carry on that debt. We are picking up $2.6 million of the roof payments. Annual payment is about $2.6 million a year. And this year, this fiscal year, we're paying the full amount. Last year, we paid 50%, and last fiscal year, we paid 50%. This year, we're paying the 100% of that debt. How do I feel about it? You know, I don't like bonds. I would try to put a budget together that we pay our own way and find a way to do that and avoid bond indebtedness if at all possible.
Okay, thank you, Charlie. The proposed budget for fiscal year 2021 eliminated all funding for the Kenai Peninsula Tourism and Marketing Council. The Assembly subsequently restored that funding. Should that item be funded in the next fiscal year? And what is your opinion of borough funding non-departmental services?
You know, as your mayor, all I've ever asked for in the funding of these agencies is that they actually do something, demonstrate that they do something. I would expect that, you know, when you put a dollar in the bank, you expect a return on that dollar. When you buy something in the way of services or pay somebody to do something for you, you would expect a return. And as your mayor, I would expect that you would expect me to make certain that that is in fact the case. I zeroed that budget because I did not believe that we were receiving a good equal exchange on that. We have since gone out and contracted with Agnew Beck. They're getting ready to complete a project for the borough, and you'll see a new program. I believe we've really shortchanged ourselves as a community. We've narrowed down in one aspect of who we are as a borough, where we could be in advertising the entire borough and all the aspects of the entire borough. And I think that we have given one agency that responsibility. It's a huge responsibility, and I think we need to spread it out. I do support the funding of tourism and marketing, though.
Okay, thank you. And Linda, regarding the elimination of funds for KPTMC and then broader funding of non-departmental services through the borough.
Well, I firmly believe that the borough was getting a lot for their investment. And they had an RFP, and they were following the rules for that RFP. That money wasn't given to them willy-nilly. It was given to them after they performed what was asked for in the RFP, and it was supposed to be a reimbursement for all of the items that they had taken care of. And I sit here and I look at your lodge owners and your guides and your fly-in fishing and fly-in hunting and whatever, sightseeing. And these people all belong to this organization, and they pay dues, and those people bring sales tax dollars to your borough. So I am for funding Kenai Tourism Marketing.
Okay, thank you. We're coming to our final question from the chamber members that we'll have time to get to. And Linda, I'm going to let you take this first. The state of Alaska has a proposal addressed in Administrative Order 318. With the Department of Public Safety's intent to consolidate most of the state's emergency 9/11 public safety answering points and reassigning the emergency 9/11 Department of Public Safety to Soldotna-based dispatchers. How will this impact our borough citizens?
From what I understood, they were going to be moving the 9/11, so I was under the impression that they were working to keep it here. But on the original proposal where they were moving it to either Anchorage or the Mat-Su, what was going to happen is that you would put your call into 911. it would go to one of those two locations, and then they would decide how to dispatch it. If it was going to be a trooper, they'd bounce that back to the trooper dispatch area. Otherwise, if it was fire, then it was just going to come back and be dispatched locally. The problem with that is you're losing time. And the other problem is that they didn't have the infrastructure for all of these areas to be able to make it work with all the different phone companies and GCI, ACS, and any of the smaller ones that were in the outlying areas.
And Mayor Pierce on the 9/11 dispatch public safety.
Not a good idea. Basically takes some five different CPAPs or dispatch centers and keeps them there at a cost. It's cost us $300,000 to date, you and I, $300,000 to date. It's a cost shift measure. It's a control measure that the state Department of Public Safety wants to take on. And really what it does is it still leaves, we still need dispatchers here at this center. Calls will come into our center. Those dispatchers will take those calls and forward them to a state dispatch center. More than 70% of every call that comes into our center today is trooper related. It's a bad idea. It's a growing government at its worst time. It just adds another level. We don't lose, we pick up all of the state dispatchers as well as the ones that we have today. At the end, when they're all gone and they're out of our center, we're going to pick up somewhere between 5 to 8 additional employees. And it could cost us as much as $1 million out of pocket at a local level. Not a good idea.
Okay, thank you. You guys have really been great in obeying the time signals and going back and forth and giving complete and very, very understandable answers. So I'm going to give you 60 seconds to close, making any remarks that you would like to before Election Day. And we'll start with Mayor Pierce, as we started with Linda in the opening remarks.
You know, I've had the privilege to serve as your mayor. It's been honorable. Hopefully I've served you well. I've certainly worked hard in an effort to do that. You know, I grew up in a family of, there was five kids, single mom. And I think that probably one of the best lessons I ever got in life was I ate a lot of bread cereal. And it taught me a lot. My mother told me, used to always kind of jokingly say, you know, if it ain't broke, don't fix it. And that's what I'm going to tell you as residents of this borough. Your borough is not broken. And there's no reason to change your mayor out and or the administration or the staff that's there today. Your staff that's working as a team today are doing the best job they can. And they work very, very hard for you every day. And they take ownership in what they're doing. I take ownership in what I'm doing. I'm sincere. If I don't have the facts or the information, I'll get it. I'll search. I'll do the hard work. I start early. I stay late. I spent no time. I got to stop, I guess. Yeah. Can I have 5 more minutes? 3 minutes.
Linda Farnsworth Hutchings, the daughter of a homesteader. Your closing remarks, please.
Yes, daughter of a home of two homesteaders, people that were very, very active in statehood, along with other pioneers in our area, active in the establishment of the borough, of our school districts. My dad was on the first assembly. My mom was the first woman on the assembly. They were school board, they were hospital board, they were city council, they were mayor of the city. And I watched from the sidelines and I learned so much from these people that were so invested in their community. They didn't want anything, they didn't want power, they didn't want notoriety, they just worked hard, like a lot of our pioneers did. And I would like to have that opportunity to work for you. Thank you.
Thank you, and once again, from the bottom of my heart, we so appreciate the candidates for participating in a system that has been bought over the last 2 centuries that allows us to elect our government. We applaud that system.